There's a verse in 1 Kings 1, verse 19, that talks about how at the time of Adonijah's rebellion, he calls all the sons of the king and Abiathar the priest and Joab, the captain of the army, and they all come and support Adonijah in rebelling against David's rulership. And so, you know, David is a really old man and is at the end of his life, and he really comes to his grave planks with the pain of this betrayal by his sons, all his sons against him apart from Solomon, Joab and Abiathar turning against him. It was a pretty sad end to have your sons one by one rise up against you, try to kill you and so on, and earlier, of course, trying to kill each other. And you think, why did this happen? Well, it was, as we know, this was the curse for the result of his sin with Bathsheba. And yet you think, well, David must have thought at times, oh God, you know, like, I did sin, but God, please forgive me. You say you've forgiven me. Can you just, like, cut it all down a bit? This all seems such a huge, almost out of proportion, in a secular sense, punishment for my sin, which was, you could say, the sin of a moment or the sin of a fairly short period when he lusts after Bathsheba, he sleeps with her, and then he knocks off her husband. Well, this is awful behavior. But it was out of character with David, I do believe. And yet the consequences and the punishment for that, in a secular sense, appear to be really over the top in a human sense. And this makes me think of a few other cases. You start off with Moses. Well, he speaks unadvisedly with his lips when he's tired and under a huge amount of pressure, and bang, because of that, you can't go into the land. When he was otherwise a very humble man, the humblest man there was, and was a wonderful, wonderful man, you think of the thing when David brings the ark to Zion and Uzziah stretches out his hand and touches the ark and zap, you're dead. Well, the guy was only trying to steady it, presumably. I know they should have been carrying it as they were, should have been carried on shoulders by certain Levites on poles, not on a carriage. And, yeah, okay, David was responsible for that, it seems to me. You think of the two old prophets at Bethel, where one of them bravely comes and delivers a message of condemnation to the king of Israel, and then God says, now don't go back any other way other than, you know, what I say is okay. Don't return by the way in which you came. Don't eat and drink anything. And another prophet says, oh, do come round to my place. Oh, yeah, well, I had a word from the Lord that said you were supposed to come to my place and eat. And the other prophet says, oh, okay, right, I believe that. And, oh, that's what you did. You disobeyed the word of the Lord. He gets eaten. He gets killed, not eaten, but he gets killed by a lion. You think, with all these cases, that all seems a very out of proportion judgment for the sin committed. Now, I'm not saying that in God's eyes it's out of proportion. I'm saying that in secular terms it seems out of proportion, particularly to those of us who read the scriptures and see people like David committing major sin, like murder and adultery, and yet they are tolerated by God, forgiven, accepted. You see all sorts of people in our own experience, ourselves included, who go on sinning in various ways, and God is so gracious. And yet in these Bible examples, you have somebody committing something that we might consider is not a huge sin, or shall I say, it's hard to put it really, but I think you might know what I mean. It's not as bad as what some people do, and yet some people get away with it all, and yet these people get hit real hard. And I suppose the skeptic could say the same about the whole thing at the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Well, they shouldn't have eaten the fruit, but the serpent deceived them, and they did. And I think the simple point of all this is to show us one thing, that sin is serious, and God will judge sin. Sin is serious, and God is so sensitive to sin, and we deserve to die for every sin we commit. We deserve huge consequences as a result of every sin. If it's speaking inadvisedly with your lips, as Moses did under pressure, that's it. Bang goes your life. either physically or in consequences. The fact it doesn't, in reality, is because of God's grace. But the wages of sin is death, and that is the simple lesson from Genesis 3. And as I say, I think it's repeated at times in the lives of some people in the Bible, and David's ongoing sufferings to a really huge extent for what appears to be the sin of hot blood that, okay, the consequences of which dragged on a bit for some time when he ordered the death of Uriah, but it was a failure that was out of character with him, and yet huge consequences. And this is the point. Your inadvised speaking this morning, yesterday, last week, whenever, you know, we do these sort of things all the time, could cost you the kingdom as it did for Moses. And this is what gives some vitality to spiritual life, when you realize how sensitive God is to human failure, and that we're failing all the time. We truly live under an amazing grace.